Father, 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 again we come to you and again we bless you and again we thank you for the eternal work that you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. And we thank you for the privilege that it is to be called to the kingdom for such an hour as this, and for the incredible expression of your love in the giving of your Son for us, that we might be called the children of the living God. What an awesome thing. And Lord, tonight we're just going to ask that you would bring a whole new appreciation and a whole new understanding of what you've done for us and what you've destined for us. And we want to bless you and we want to honor you and we want to know you. We want to know you. We want to know you. But we're keenly aware, Father, that we cannot unless the eyes of our understanding are enlightened by the power of your Spirit. Unless you lift the veil. And so, Father, we pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We ask that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Lord, we ask you to dig our ears and to open our hearts so that we could know what's the height and width and depth and breadth and the extravagance of your love. And we want to know that tonight. So, Father, we're just coming before you tonight asking for ears to hear. And we want to bless you and we want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name. All right. I realized after last week that we've spent 7 weeks now talking about the tabernacle of David. And we mentioned just in passing that it was built at Mount Zion. We hear a lot about Mount Zion. We hear the terminology a lot. We hear Zion. But I was thinking about Zion, and tonight we're going to look at the place that David built his tabernacle. And we're going to take a look at Mount Zion. And the scripture in your notes starts off from Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And so we want to look at what is this Mount Zion. You remember last week we talked a little bit about the progression of the ark, about the ark moving from Moses' tabernacle into David's tabernacle, and from David's tabernacle into Solomon's temple. And you remember we said last week that David's tabernacle was never meant to be the permanent dwelling place for the presence of God. So it moved from there into Solomon's temple. But what I failed to really mention last week, and it really just hit me, though the ark moved, changed temples, it didn't change locations. I said, at that time where it moved out of David's tabernacle into Solomon's temple, the ark didn't change locations. Solomon's temple was still established right there in Zion, in the same place. In other words, when David brought the ark to Zion, that was its eternal resting place. And we're going to look at what Zion is about and what it symbolizes. We're going to start by looking through things historically. And we've got a lot of information to cover, and I don't want to take too much time. So I'm going to scream over this stuff. So I wrote a lot of it for you in your notes. And hopefully all you'll have to jot in, or most of what you have to jot in, is just like little scripture references or something. All right, so historically, Zion was called Jebus. Back in David's day, it was the name of the Jerusalem when it was held by the Canaanites. The Jebusites came and they settled in Jerusalem. If you want a couple of scripture references, Joshua 15:63 and Judges 19:10, those two references indicate that Jerusalem was called Jebus when the Canaanites held it. And according to Joshua 18:28, it was given to the tribe of Benjamin as a part of their inheritance. But the Jebusites still held a part of it until the time of David. It was part of Jerusalem was still held by the Jebusites. But David captured in his day the stronghold of Zion. The place that's called Zion in Jerusalem was captured by David. The accounts of that are in 2 Samuel 5, verses 6 through 9, and 1 Chronicles 11, 5 through 8, which says, "Then the inhabitants of Jabus said to David, 'You shall not come in here.' Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. And now David said, 'Whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be the chief and the captain.'" So basically, David went in and conquered the stronghold of Zion and established that as his own stronghold. At which point, after that point, Zion was called the city of David. Right? The name of the place literally means a parched place, but it's from a word that means a monument or a signpost. And there are various different suggestions by various different Bible dictionary authors that say that the word that Zion means mount or sunny or fortress. Some of them they say it means elevated, highest, lofty, sepulcher, turret. There are a bunch of different names, but it's basically a high place that's as a signpost, okay, as a place to mark the way. And Zion itself is mentioned 153 times in the Old Testament and 7 times in the New. Okay? Now, as you look at Zion, there are two dominant themes, two kind of dominant themes when we start looking at the city of Zion in the natural. Okay, just the city itself. The first theme is the political or the governmental. It's political or governmental aspect. Right? It was the city of King David. David dwelt there as king, which made it the capital city and the seat of government. So it was in that place, in the city of Zion, where David led the nation as king. King David. The second dominant theme associated with Zion, it was also the ecclesiastical, or the, some people prefer like the term religious. I personally don't like the term religious. Maybe you want to say the spiritual. There's a theme. Because that's where David set up his tabernacle. It was the city not just of King David, but it was the city of the tabernacle of David as well. So David the king dwelled in Zion, and God, the presence of God, dwelt in Zion. So that was the place that David led the nation as priest. Okay? So he led the nation as king, and he led the nation as priest. Okay? Now, you notice this seems a bit confusing maybe, but it says two dominant themes and then there's A, B, and C. A was political, governmental. B was ecclesiastical or spiritual. But the third isn't a dominant theme, but this was a type. Zion was a type, a culmination of the governmental authority and the spiritual authority. It was a type of Jesus Christ. This is a picture of Jesus, the son of David, ruling as king and priest in the city of God. Okay? Because Jesus rules right now and reigns as king and priest in the city of God. And we're going to see a little more about that as we move. Here's some scripture showing that Jesus is going to come to reign as king. Isaiah 9, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever." couple other passages of Scripture for those of you who want to dig a little more. Revelation 19:16, 1 Timothy 6:15. Speak of Jesus reigning as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Speak of His governmental, kingly authority. And then, as priest, Psalm 110, verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5:10 refers to Jesus, called by God as high priest after the order of Melchizedek. As does Hebrews 6:20. Okay? So there are two kind of aspects in Zion. The Lord reigning as king, the Lord reigning as priest. All right? So we're going to look at just briefly at a couple of things about the governmental city of God, about Zion being the place where the king dwells. Because remember, everything that happens in the natural is a picture of what happens in the spirit. The Old Testament was given for our example, for us to know how God has ordered and set up things in the spiritual realm and in the eternal realm. So when we're looking at the physical place Zion, realize there's a fulfillment of this, and we're going to see this more and more as we move along, that there's a fulfillment of this for eternity in the spiritual realm. The place, the city of God, that's ruled and reigned over by King, Priest, Jesus. Yeah? Okay? So we're going to look at the governmental city of God, where the king dwells. Psalm 2, verses 6 and 7. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Psalm 2, 6 and 7. I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion. It's the city of the king priest. Psalm 110. Read verses 1 through 7. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauty of your holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. All that's set out in Psalm 110. And it's the city where the Lord reigns, the city of the king priest, and the city where the Lord reigns and rules. Psalm 146:10. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 60, verse 14. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing down, and all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion, of the Holy One of Israel. Okay? So, Zion is the place where the Lord reigns, where the king dwells. It's the city of the king and priest, and the city where the Lord reigns. But we want to take a look at now Zion, this kind of more spiritual aspect, and some of what the Scripture says, some of the Old Testament references, of all the things that the Scripture says will take place or are characteristics of the city of Zion. And I think this is going to get exciting as we begin to recognize all the things that God said either take place or were established or were meant to be a part of the city of Zion. But before I talk about that, I want to make it kind of clear that Zion was a little special sector of Jerusalem. It wasn't the whole city. I've always personally felt like Jerusalem represents, in the natural, the church in the spiritual realm, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And when it speaks of Jerusalem and Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, that the spiritual counterpart of that is a picture of Jesus weeping over his church. Zion was a special place within the walls of Jerusalem. And I believe that as we recognize that there are some exciting things that take place in Zion, it will, I know when I started studying this and started looking at it and started praying about it, something rose up inside of me saying, God, I'm not content with just being in Jerusalem. I want to dwell in Zion. I want to dwell in that spiritual place, that place where you're ruling and reigning as king, the king priest. I don't want to just be in the kingdom. I want to be where the king is. You know, you can be in the kingdom and still be a long ways away from the king. Can't we? That's right. That's right. We are a long way from the queen at the moment, wherever she might be. All right, so here's some Old Testament references. And what I did for you, just to keep you from having to write, I just gave you, you're not going to have to write. You can just, if you want, just relax and listen for a minute to some of these things. And I'll read some of the scriptures underneath them. But I didn't want you to be distracted by having to write all these things. And I don't know how many we'll actually get through. And if I don't get through them all, you'll have the rest of them in your notes and some scriptures for you to go look at. But first, and we've already sort of mentioned this, Zion is the place where the Lord dwells. Psalm 9:11, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Psalm 74:2, remember your congregation which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion where you have dwelt. Joel 3:16, the Lord also will roar from Zion. This one's kind of interesting. It says, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. He utters his voice from Jerusalem, but he roars out of Zion. I kind of like that one. All right. There's a couple other references for you to look at. Secondly, it was meant to be a place of salvation. Psalm 14:7, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. And again in Psalm 53:6, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. Isaiah 59:20, the Redeemer will come to Zion. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, as your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Right? And there's a few other references in your notes there. Third, it's a place of God's strength. It's a place where God is strong in Zion. Psalm 20, verses 2 and 3. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. You can look at Psalm 84. You can look up, because that mentions it. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Was Psalm 84. That's the verse 7. Your reference actually includes verses 4 through 7. But verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. It's a place full of joy for the whole earth. Psalm 48:2. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great king. Psalm 48:11, let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughter of Judah be glad. Psalm 97:8, Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice. It's a place of joy and rejoicing. Psalm 149:2, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. So Zion's a place of joy. It's a place where God's beauty shines forth. Psalm 50, verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. And the flip side of that, actually, as Jeremiah was lamenting in Lamentations 2:15, he basically said, all who pass by clap their hands at you, they hiss and shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Now this is when the daughters of Jerusalem aren't rejoicing. And Jeremiah is lamenting over them, but he makes reference to this same truth when he says, and they hiss and shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that is called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? It was intended to be a place of where God's beauty is shining forth. It's a place where the Lord is praised. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. Psalm 65:1. Psalm 147:12. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. It was intended to be a place of praise. It's a place that was chosen by God. Psalm 78:67-68. It says, moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. The tribe of Judah means praise, the word Judah. A place of praise, and God's chosen the praisers. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the woman at, was it in John chapter 4? The hour is coming, and now is, when those that worship will worship in spirit and in truth, and those will be the ones that my Father seeks. Those ones. Looking for the praisers. They're the chosen ones. Right? It's a place where that God loves more than any other place. Listen to this one. Psalm 87:2. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. It's his favorite place. He loves it more than any other place, than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. God loves Zion. It's a place where he appears in glory. Psalm 102:13. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. And then verse 16 says, for the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. And I noted Colossians 3:4 in this one too. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's what Colossians 3:4 says. You see the connection. Zion was a place of blessing. A place where first God blesses us. Psalm 128:5. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Psalm 134:3. The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion. But it's not just a place of God blessing us. It's a place of us blessing him too. Psalm 135:21. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. It was a place meant to be mutual blessing. He blesses us. We bless him out of that place. Now you notice how I've suddenly started blurring the line between historical Zion and kind of where we are now. Because remember, everything in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Christ and is available to God's people right now. We're going to see that even more clearly as we progress. It's a place where people were established and born. It's Psalm 87:5-6 says, and of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this one was born there. This one was born in Zion. Think about that. Born in Zion. I want to be born of the Spirit of God, not just in Jerusalem. I want to be born and established in Zion, in that place of praise, worship, adoration, that place where the king priest rules and reigns. Okay? Again, I mentioned that the Lord reigns in Zion. The first Lord reigns that I mentioned was governmentally. We were talking about kind of the governmental aspect where the Lord reigns as the governmental supreme authority. But the Lord reigns as a spiritual priest and authority in the heavens, in the heavenly realm as well. And there's a few passages for you to look up. Psalm 99, 1 and 2. The Lord reigns. The Lord is great in Zion, it says. Isaiah 24, 23 says, "For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously." It's a place where his name is declared and praised. Psalm 102, 21, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. His name is praised and declared in Zion. It's a place of God's rest and habitation forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion, it says in 132, 13. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. The Lord has chosen Zion as his habitation forever. I sometimes wonder, when I start thinking about what's really taking place before the throne of heaven where Jesus is ruling and reigning, I can't imagine the sea of, or the sound of the praise and the worship and the adoration that must be going forth at that place. I can't imagine that it's even going to be discernible as far as discerning anything as a melody or anything. I think it's just going to be like an eternal cheer. You know, and some of it will be song and some of it will... I just can't imagine what it's going to be like. And that's where he inhabits and where he's resting forever. And that's where he wants to dwell. And I sometimes wonder if about people that don't get that excited about that sort of stuff, if heaven's going to maybe be kind of an uncomfortable place. Because I have a feeling it's going to be wild. I really do. In the midst of Zion. Anyhow, that was a little bunny trail. It's a place where captivity is turned to laughter. Listen to this. Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion." When we weren't in Zion and captive in Babylon, we wept. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of us. For there those who carried us away captive asked us of a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion's." How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? But then this captivity, Psalm 126, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad." A place where captivity is turned to laughter. It's a place where the word of the Lord is taught or goes forth. Isaiah 2:3, "Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." It's a place where his word comes forth in Zion. And that is echoed in Micah 4:2. That's a very similar passage of Scripture. It's a place of shouting and singing in comfort. Isaiah 12:6, "Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." Isaiah 51:11, "So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away when they come to Zion. And that's echoed again in Isaiah 35:10. Very similar passage. And there's a few other passages listed on there in your notes there. It's a place where there's a name for the people of God. Isaiah 51:16. I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. And say to Zion, you are my people. It's a place that releases. The only word I could think of publishes good tidings. I actually don't like that word. But it's a place where good tidings come forth. A place of good news. Isaiah 49, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns. It's a place where sinners come face to face with the majesty of God. It's a place where sinners are dealt with. Listen, Isaiah 33:14 says this, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Isaiah 31:9. He shall cross over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He's filled Zion with justice and righteousness. That's Isaiah 33:5. See, God's righteousness is there, and it brings confrontation of sin in Zion. It's a city of solemn assemblies. It was a place where people gathered for the appointed feasts. Isaiah 33:20-24. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feasts. So it's a place where people came for the solemn assemblies, the appointed feast. A place to come to meet with him and be fed. The foundation stone is laid in Zion. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ laid in Zion. And Peter quoted that in 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, it's also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. In other words, Peter was validating that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that foundation stone being laid in Zion. Now, that's interesting because I was thinking about this, meditating. I was thinking about the wise man that builds his house on the rock. And I wonder if we can build our house on the rock in Jerusalem if the cornerstone is in Zion. I wonder if we can build our house on the rock if we're just content to hang in Jerusalem when the cornerstone is in Zion. I just wondered that. Matthew 21:42. Jesus himself talks about, he said, have you never read in the Scriptures, the stones with the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. He referred to himself as the chief cornerstone. All right, And Acts 4:11 is another reference to that one. Okay, where it's a place where God has a faithful remnant. Isaiah 37:31 and 32. And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root upward and bear fruit, take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. And you know what's cool? Is God will even take the backslider and put him in to be a part of that faithful remnant. I like this one. This is Jeremiah 3:14. It says, "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion." Isn't that exciting? There's always hope, no matter where we are. Micah 4:7, "I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation, so the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion." It's a place that has the glory cloud upon her assemblies. Isaiah 4:5-6, "Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory there will be a covering." Over the dwelling place of Mount Zion, the glory of God. Those are some of the Old Testament references to Zion and to what Zion was designed by God to be. Now we're going to look at a couple of New Testament references, because in the New Testament there were actually some references to Zion. Matthew 21:4-5 basically was the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. It says all this was done. This is when Jesus came in riding on the colt of a donkey. It says all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey." Right? And there's a parallel passage to that in John chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Fear not, O daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." And his disciples didn't understand these things at first, it says, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him, that he was going to come. Okay. Now Paul to the Romans quotes Isaiah 8:14. That's one. Yeah, quotes Isaiah 8:14 when he says, "As it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." All right. So that's another reference in the New Testament to Jesus and the cornerstone being laid in Zion. Paul also quotes Isaiah 59:20 in Romans 11:26, where he says, "And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Okay? And then the author of Hebrews, and this is the one that excites me the most. This is the one that really begins to open up what Zion was intended to be and what Zion really is and what it's really about. Because the author of the book of Hebrews was basically making a comparison and saying, look, you guys, all this stuff about the temple that you read in the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of the real temple, of Jesus himself, and of the place that he called and intended for you to dwell. So the book of Hebrews is the author to the Hebrews is writing about the fulfillment. This was never intended to be something that just happened in the natural. This was fulfilled in Christ. He's the temple. He's the high priest. And because of that, you can enter in and you're the temple. And everything about all of those temples, it's a picture of who you are in Christ as a temple of the Holy Spirit, as his temple. And he says to the Hebrews, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Listen how he describes Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Can't count them. to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. You know who that is? That's us. The church of the firstborn, registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So there's a reference in the New Testament that suggests that Zion was never about a city in the corner of Jerusalem in the natural. It was a foreshadowing of a city in the spiritual realm that we've been brought into by our high priest, by our mediator, by the one who is king and priest forever. And we, as the church of the firstborn, dwell in Zion. Or can. We have access. Peter talked about Isaiah 28:16 in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 9. Says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, he says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, it's contained in the scriptures. I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. In other words, Peter's admonition is, God is building a dwelling place with us, precious stones, living stones, and we've been made holy and acceptable as a place where he's intended to rule and reign. And then the final revelation of the intention of God for Zion, what God has always intended for it to be, comes at the pen of the apostle of John, the revelator, some of them call him, in the book of Revelation. And he says this, then I looked, and I saw, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion. Standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. The lamb standing on Mount Zion, ruling and reigning, our king priest, our mediator, the mediator of the new covenant. By his blood, a whole higher covenant than the blood that Abel shed. Okay? So, to kind of capsulize all of this, there are basically three aspects to the city of Zion. Okay? The first is the earthly aspect. Okay? It's the, I'll call it the shadow in the natural realm. It's just the earthly Zion, the city, built of mud and bricks and mortar. And it was the shadow in the natural realm. So letter A in your notes is earthly. And under that, number one, it's the shadow in the natural realm. Number one, it's the shadow. Or you can put, if you want, the foreshadowing. Number two under that is, it is that the tabernacle of David was there. That's where the tabernacle of David rested. And another way of describing it is that it is the Old Testament type. It's an Old Testament type. So in the Old Testament, the physical Zion just was a type. But it was a picture of, letter B in your notes, spiritual Zion. Three was the Old Testament type. Letter B, is the spiritual aspect of Zion. Okay, the first was the earthly aspect. just the earthly or the natural aspect of Zion. Letter B is the spiritual. There's a spiritual aspect to Zion. And that is the aspect, number one, of the kingdom of heaven on earth. That is the aspect of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Jesus said this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is among you. In other words, the second aspect to our study of Zion is the realization that we can partake of Zion now here on earth. We can stand in that place. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is among you. All of those things that happen in Zion, all of the joy and all of the deliverance and all of the salvation and all of the healing and all of the praise and all of the glory and all of those 23 or 24 different things that we looked at that were happening in Zion, we can walk into now because of the spiritual truth. Zion's a picture of the kingdom of heaven at hand, was fulfilled in Christ. Number two under that is it's a picture of the church, the New Testament church. It's a picture of who we are as a church. And where the earthly part, where the earthly Zion was an Old Testament type, spiritual Zion is the New Testament fulfillment of that type. It's thinking? Is it making sense? Then there's a New Testament fulfillment. The type of has been fulfilled in Christ. And then the third aspect of Zion, this is the one that excites me the most, is the heavenly aspect. The heavenly aspect. That's what God intended for Zion to be all along, the place where He rules and reigns. This was God's original plan for the city of Zion. It's His city. The city of the living God. The city where He rules and reigns as king and priest eternally and forever. This is God's original plan for Zion. We see it brought into being beginning with King David, where he comes and establishes, brings the tabernacle, takes the stronghold of Zion and sets the glory of God, the Ark of the Covenant, at Zion. That's where we first begin to see that that was God's intended dwelling place forever. Then we see, and maybe Solomon's Temple is a picture of this, I don't know. But see, Solomon's Temple is still at Zion. That could be a picture of the fulfillment. I don't know how it works. But see, the glory of God, the Ark of the Covenant, never left Zion again. Even when it was taken from the temple at Babylon, I mean from Solomon's temple, where does it rest now? At Zion. Why? Because the glory of God is Jesus Christ standing, ruling, and reigning in the city of Zion. And that's where He stands and will stand and will always stand. In Zion. He'll always be there. Eternally. So it's God's original plan. It's God's eternal plan. It's God's intended plan. That was His intent for the city of Zion. Now the thing that excites me about all of this, the book of Hebrews says, but you have come to Mount Zion. King James says, you are come to Mount Zion. And you know how we sometimes look at verbs and we sometimes look at the verb tenses and we sometimes talk about the verb that means the aorist tense of the verb that means it's started and it's continuing and it was fulfilled and will be fulfilled and will continue to be fulfilled until ultimately it's fulfilled. This verb is not in that tense at all. You have come. It's in the perfect tense. And what that means, it describes an action which is viewed as having been completed in the past once and for all times, never having to be repeated again. You are come to Mount Zion now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand now. It's been done. The way has been made. The way has been paved. And we can stand in Zion. We can stand in that place. And we can stand before our King with the 144,000. And we can bow at His throne. And we can release praise and worship. And all those things that come out of Zion begin to be worked in our lives. All of them. And see, that's what David's tabernacle really represents. It represents the truth that God has established for His people, an eternal, everlasting, accessible dwelling place for His presence. And we can step in no matter where we are in our lives. Because the Mosaic thing is going on, has been going on, has been completed, and we can step into that place. This is really, I believe, where our choice comes in. Because what I've discovered, because Zion is the place of praise, it's the place of worship, it's the place of offering our lives unto Him. It's the place of continual ministry before the Lord. That's what David really established. It's characterized by continual praise and worship to the Lord. That's what Zion's a picture of. The people of praise. And I've discovered this. When I stand in the place of praise and offer myself, a lot of people think we're just singing songs. But we're not singing songs at all. It draws us in to Zion. Draws us into that place. And as we're drawn into Zion, guess what? Everything that's a part of Zion is imparted into us. But every one of us has the choice of allowing ourselves to be drawn into Zion through praise and worship. That's why I am so fanatical about praise and worship. I love it. That's why I don't believe you can really have a deep, meaningful meeting without spending time in Zion. Spending time at the feet of Jesus. Spending time with Him, because it opens the door for all that He represents and all that is a part of His rule and reign. We looked at all the things that take place in Zion, and Zion is a picture of the worshiping church. It's a picture of the worshiping church. That's what it's really a picture of. The worshiping church. Church. And as we worship, we sing this song, build your throne. As we worship, build your throne. As we worship, come Lord Jesus, take your place. David understood that. God, you who inhabit the Tehillim of your people, you who are enthroned upon the praises of your people. Jesus, again, those who worship in spirit and in truth, those are the ones God seeks. Worshiping. It's a fulfillment of all that the church was intended to be. Inhabitants of the city of Zion. And I don't think any look at the tabernacle of David would be complete without considering where he built it and what that represents, which is why I wanted to finish up tonight by talking about Zion. What we're going to do for the next class is we're going to look at some of the principles. We're going to go a little bit more in depth, and I think if you didn't hear it, we've got some flyers that set out for the next one. We're just going to look at those 14 Davidic principles, and we want to encourage you, pass them around. This class is not a prerequisite for the next one. You don't have to have had this for these to really help. But what the 14 principles that David laid out will really do for us as believers, it will give us some practical things that we can do, that we can just yield our members to bring us in to the city of Zion. As we look at some of the things that David laid out, all of the things that he said, we'll do this, 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 were for one reason and really one reason only, and that was to bring us in to the city of Zion, into what's is to get us involved with what's going on already in the heavenly realm. We get to join with the company of angels. We can stand, and there's a whole cloud of witnesses around us. It's in the heavens. I can almost picture the angels going, yeah, go for it. I can almost picture the 420 elders standing there, come on church, go for it, lift your voices. If you don't cry out, the rocks will praise him. So let's join together and bless the Lord. Yeah. Now I just want to do some of that tonight. Want to finish up by just going before our King with a realization, I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what helps me a lot? What helps me a lot is understanding that what we're doing is according to God's will, purpose, plan, pattern, and intent. I can get myself so much more involved if I know that I'm doing something that God ordained to do. There's a time and a place for following along just because somebody says do it. Right? We talked a little bit about that in the Mosaic thing. It's kind of like this when we talked about Moses' tabernacle. You come in because this is how you're supposed to do it. But I think when we have a little more understanding of what God really ordained, this is the place he's called us to live. He's called us to dwell. And this is what happens for those who dwell there. His glory is poured out. They become his. He marks them, puts his name on them. He turns their captivity into laughter. He turns their sorrow into joy. You know? He releases their lips to praise. He pours out his life. That's what happens for those who choose to dwell in Zion. I want to dwell there. Do you? Well, how about we just end tonight by spending a time of just worshiping the Lord? Shall we do that?